Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and the events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Farias, and I have the best job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and we're so happy to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So the Museum of History fills a much bigger role for the community than just opening our doors for visitors to explore fantastic exhibits about our city's history, and of course, our 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy. I think our biggest role, actually, though, is how we collect and protect the city's and the area's rich history. For about 100 years of our existence, the St. Pete Historical Society, the nonprofit that actually runs the Museum of History, has pretty much been on its own. Yes, we couldn't have collected over 100,000 artifacts, maps, photos, and such without the help of our membership, of course, donors and supporters, and grants. But 2 years ago, Mayor Welch and the City Council recognized the importance of our work here and decided to help. Without their support, we wouldn't have been able to expand our resources to better protect our city's history and help community projects and help communities protect their own history. So it's quite a task, and our guest today is charged with overseeing that task. I want to introduce the museum's archives and collections manager, Jess Steer. Jess, welcome.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
All right, so listen, you're kind of new to the museum, right? So tell us about yourself. What led you to the Sunshine City?
So I'm a Tampa native. I've lived there.
Go ahead.
I've lived there for 10 years now. I went to USF for my undergrad and my master's. And when I saw a job opening up at St. Pete, I was thrilled because it's such a beautiful city.
So you're obviously a history geek, right? Like
right.
We all are here. So when did you know you liked playing with old stuff?
I've always loved history, but I also, if I'm being honest, really can be a bit nosy. I love getting to dig through documents and letters and old photos and just piecing together someone's life and understanding how people lived.
So why do you think, especially the documents and stuff like that, because I'm with you. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I've collected St. Pete postcards and Florida postcards, and my favorite ones are the ones that have messages written on the back of them, you know, so you can read all the good stuff about having a swell time in, you know, St. Petersburg. So why do you think it's so important that we painstakingly take care of all these items?
So they aren't forgotten. I think these items kind of keep people alive, keep their memory alive. And to preserve an item means that they aren't forgotten forever. These people shape our communities and where we are today.
So they're stories, right? And that's what we love to share here. And about 99%, probably 99.9% of our collection has been donated to the museum. We get calls weekly. And, you know, I once read a note in a board minutes from a past director of the museum. And it seemed like every time she came to unlock the doors and open the museum, somebody has left stuff on the front steps for the museum. And, you know, that was kind of like a joke, but it's so true. I mean, we get calls every week and not daily about someone whose family or, you know, a grandparent has passed away, and they have all this old stuff, so they want to donate it to us for the History Museum. And trust me, we love getting these calls. First thing I tell people is, first of all, don't throw anything away till we get to look at it, especially correspondence. We have boxes and boxes of family histories in our archives vault, and these include letters and all kinds of documents. And truly, this is where we, this is where we really learn what happened. And I worry sometimes when you look at, you know, how we live today. I mean, what are historians going to do, you know, 100 years from now? because nobody writes letters anymore, right? So, I mean, emails, text messages, they'll all disappear eventually. So how will they know what we do? So these are, again, these are the things that we love to collect. And, you know, again, I tell people never to throw anything away. Don't call anybody to do an estate sale. Don't do any of that until we get a chance to see some of these items, because some of the things that people may think are just boring, not exciting, are things that we really, really want. So what are the steps for people? What can they do if they want to donate? How do they donate family or historic items to the museum?
So the first thing you can do is check out our website, which is historystpete.org, or you can call the museum, or you could
ask for you, right?
Yeah, you can ask for me, or you can just email me at jess@spmoh.org.
And that's Jess, J-E-S-S, right?
Okay.
So we get those calls. People stop by. Sometimes they just drop stuff off and run because they don't want to pay to park on the pier, right? And it's literally, and if anybody would witness this when here, it's like Christmas time here. I mean, especially when people drop off some boxes, we're like scavengers running to these boxes and you to see what kind of treasures are inside of them. So if you could create, knowing a little bit what our collections is, and again, Jess is fairly new to us. She's been here probably a couple months. And a couple months is, I've been here a lot longer than that and still not enough time to look through our entire collections. So looking at what you see in our collections, what in your mind would be like your wish list? What would you want people to give us?
I think you mentioned family histories. That's definitely a big one. Anything pertaining to St. Pete history or the surrounding cities, or even Florida, anything about businesses, schools, neighborhoods. These could be photographs, diaries, correspondence, ledgers, maps.
One thing that we did get, and just to give people an example how, you know, you think that some of these things may be not interesting, but of course we loved, one of the caretakers of Greenwood Cemetery here in St. Petersburg, when she passed, we received boxes of documents from the cemetery, and they were just ledgers. And this is just treasured information, because now we can match those ledgers to the actual plat maps that we have of that cemetery. And if folks are not familiar with Greenwood Cemetery, it is the oldest cemetery in St. Petersburg. We can match those ledgers, find out all the information we need to find out about their passing and their families. So those pieces are important. Photographs are incredibly important. We never turn away a photograph of anything to do with the city's or the area's history. And I can't tell you how many times we're like, yes, this happened here, and this is exactly what happened, and all of a sudden we get a photograph, and like, oh, okay, we were wrong. Right? And so the one thing before I ask this next question, I'm trying to hear the answer to, the one thing that we don't have a lot of, and I've discovered not a lot of it exists in the city's history, is video, dating back to the 20s, 30s, 40s. We have a ton of photography, a ton of photographs from that time period, but there's not a lot of video history in our archives or that we found. I do remember when we did receive like a family, 8mm home film that someone took while they were on vacation here in the early 1930s. It was just amazing. It's like we discovered gold because those things don't exist. So my question is, what's the weirdest item? What is the most weirdest item you've come across up there in the archives and collections vaults?
The weirdest item I found by chance, it was just sitting on the collections table. It's a wreath made entirely out of human hair. I guess this was common in the Victorian era. Also, it's not just any human hair. It's the family members of Millard Fillmore. Like the 13th president?
Yes, okay.
So that was a fun find.
I think you're right, I think it was popular because I think they made jewelry out of human hair back in the Victorian era. Yeah, so that's Yeah, that's kind of strange. So there, I did read a story again back in the museum. Actually, has its own history of itself, where the person, so the people who donated the mummy to the museum, the 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummified person that we have, along with that donation came a sarcophagus and a severed mummy head. This is back in 1925, 26, when these things arrived here. She's been here 100 years already. Anyway, I did read an account where I guess the severed mummy's head was, wrapped, taken care of, put in an acid-free box like we do everything else, put on a shelf, maybe mislabeled or maybe not labeled at all, but one of your early predecessors saw this box, took it down, opened it, and didn't know what was in it until she unwrapped it and there was a head staring at her. So that would be a little disconcerting, I think, if that happened.
I would definitely be shocked.
Okay. All right. So listen, Jess can't do all this work by herself, right? We get college interns, but we need volunteers. The museum needs volunteers who can go upstairs in our archives and collections vault and help. And as you can imagine, the Museum of History was volunteer run for decades before a professional staff was put in place. So we have, numerous items that still need to be properly cataloged and photographed. And actually, thanks to the city's support, part of this whole project is to put our collections online. So fairly soon, people will be able to log on to our website and click a magic button, and you'll be able to view our collections. And as we photograph them and catalog them properly and put them up there, we'll be adding things daily probably to that website of what we have in the city's collection. So volunteers, you can't do this by yourself. We need some help here. What could a volunteer help to do? I mean, what are their tasks? What would be their tasks up in archives and collections?
I always need help with scanning. There's labeling, definitely adding descriptions onto our museum's database.
What about our postcards?
We are scanning our postcards currently.
Listen, if you think that people are just, when I say what about our postcards, and the reason why we kind of have this smirk on our face is because we have about 40,000 of them. And I love to exaggerate, and I'm not even exaggerating. So imagine having to scan all those, which we've been doing for 2 years now almost, to put these all in place. And again, that's part of our task at the city's helping us with, to have all these things online for everyone. So our archives is more than storage. And actually, storage becomes an issue. You look at the building that sits on the pier. We have a second floor that has two concrete vaults, one for our archives and one for artifacts for our collections. And folks who loosely don't know the difference, archives is primarily paper, photographs, maps, things like that, while the collections, we consider the collections being objects. And we also have some off-site storage facilities that's climate controlled, where we hold a number of our pieces. But storage is always a gigantic problem for any history thing, not just ours. Even a conversation I had with the Smithsonian, they've got massive warehouses, of course, filled with stuff, and they run out of room quite often. So our archives and collections is much more than just a storage area. It's a resource facility. We help people research their historic homes. We've helped St. Pete High and Gibbs High School, and we'll be helping Lakewood shortly to create their own archives room. So we've used them, our archives, to assist them with that. And we've started a program where neighborhood associations can work with us to produce an actual printed history of their own neighborhood and the historic homes that, reside in that neighborhood. So tell us a little bit about this. I mean, people want to know about their homes, right? And so tell us how they find out about what they can do, what they can find individually and as well as the neighborhoods.
So we offer individual research. People can come in and we can show them how to find property cards and go through our directories, or we can do this for them.
For a donation, of course. But we, because we do have some cool stuff. I mean, yeah, we have all the city directories, right? And we have a number of photographs of homes, and we don't have photographs of all the homes. One thing I did start is I grabbed one of our college interns and gave them my camera and said, I want you to walk up and down every street downtown and start taking pictures of every building that's there before they're ripped down. But we do have city directories. We have plat maps. We have neighborhood plat maps. We have the Sanborn insurance maps,
right,
which are, these are like our most prized possession up in archives. And for folks who don't know what they are, the Sanborn Insurance Company would map out individual cities for insurance reason. And they were, the oldest one, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 1918 maybe. And so they have the layout of the city. They have the streets, and then they literally by hand draw in what is built on those lots. And it includes information of construction materials, you know, that type of stuff. But it's so cool to go back and see what was where, you know, throughout St. Petersburg. Because we look at St. Pete now and we see this beautiful, amazing, vibrant, crazy town. And then you look at the, you know, the actual Sanborn maps from 1924, and there's farmland in the middle of downtown St. Petersburg, right? So we've changed a little bit in 100 years. So people, we do let people research those. We keep an eagle eye on them to make sure they're not touching them improperly or anything like that. Anything else you want to add?
We also offer research for students and writers, people who want to write a book.
Basically anybody who has any inkling of doing anything about St. Pete's history, we can probably help them. And if we can't, we can at least try and steer them in the right direction. So again, we're way more than looking at a baseball exhibit or a mummy exhibit. This is truly the real mission of why we're here. So, Jess, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Historically St. Pete and sharing the magic of the museum's archives and collections.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I invite listeners to tune in weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete and to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. You can visit HistorySt.Pete.org for more details on our exhibits, events, and archives. So thanks for listening and join us next week in Historically St. Pete.